Today, we have two wonderful guests joining us, Linda Shannon and Heather Montjoy from Lavender and Sage, your haven for homemade herbal products. We'll be talking about natural wellness, creativity, and the beauty of bringing a little calm into everyday life. Welcome, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. So Lavender and Sage is a business that you started. You mentioned starting in 2020. I'm guessing you started from home.
We did. We were both at home. Heather wasn't working because of COVID, and I was working from home. And we decided that if we couldn't get the products that we needed, what were we going to do? So we just started making all natural products.
And you are a mother-daughter combo.
We are.
And yes. Heather, were you nervous about starting a business with your mom?
Not really.
We don't have to just...
No, not really. I had been doing it for a while. We had been doing stuff on the side for ourselves, and then it just kind of escalated when people couldn't find soap and things like that, and then plus not knowing what was in our products. It's nice to know where what's in it and where it's coming from.
Were you the type of ladies, you know, Linda, did you run a home and then Heather take over your own home as you grew up, that things were natural, you made your own, you know, laundry detergent and that kind of stuff? Were you always kind of doing things like that?
Not to begin with, no. But then when you read what's in our products, a lot of people don't understand. There is chemicals in everything. Your food, your beauty supplies.
There's bleach in table salt.
Yes.
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 I blew my mind. I was somewhere and they're like, you really need to use Celtic salt. And I was like, what?
Yes.
Bleach in table
salt? It's the convenience of something being made.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to take the time to make it yourself.
Yeah. So what was that initial, you kind of started making the products for yourselves, for your own families? Is that where this kind of started?
Yes. And then some ladies at Heather's work wanted to know if we wanted to sell it. And I'm like, no, we're not going to be selling this. We're just making it for ourselves.
Maybe. But you were sharing it with people, you know, things.
Yes.
And do you remember what that first product was that you thought, let me share this around?
So we did soap. Mm-hmm. That was our first product that we began sharing with others. My first all-natural product that I chose to make for myself originally was deodorant.
Mm.
Because I was buying all-natural deodorant, and they sold out to the big box stores. And when you could find it at the dollar store, I decided that it probably wasn't as good as it once was and got to researching, and they had sold out to a company that was not trustworthy and put chemicals in other products. So I started making deodorant for myself.
Well, and even with deodorant, I've read some stories of bigger natural brand deodorants that cause pain within their armpits and stuff like that, that it's still not even kind of the level that you would want to put on your own body.
Correct. Yeah, that is correct. One of the main ingredients that a lot of people use within the natural deodorant is baking soda. And that is what causes a lot of the irritation.
And what do you enjoy that research into what products to use to still, because, you know, Lavender and Sage is about the scents and the way that these products are making you feel. But at the end of the day, deodorant has a pretty important job that isn't just masking an odor. You need it to be doing something useful, right?
Correct.
And so do you enjoy that research into how do I make deodorant? Or is that like, all right, we got to get out the good old Google and start looking into this?
The research is very important. I feel like anybody can Google anything and find stuff. However, is it trustworthy?
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing. We can Google it and it can tell you something, but knowing whether or not it's truly trustworthy is a whole nother ball game.
So why has it been so important? I mean, you've kind of mentioned there's all these chemicals, all these things and products. Why is this such an important aspect for the two of you?
One of the main concerns for me is I'm originally from Eastern Kentucky. And when the opioid epidemic hit Eastern Kentucky, it affected a lot of people that I loved. And so I wanted to be able to make medicines and natural products for people to help them get off of pharmaceuticals.
Hmm.
That was my passion.
I feel like big box medical pharma companies have worked on this themselves as well.
Yeah.
I mean, so did you stop and think, okay, if there's not a great solution that big box pharma companies have come up with to help people get off of drugs, who am I to be able to kind of find the right solution? Did that deter you, or were you like, heck yeah, let's buckle up, let's go?
Oh, she's a very determined.
Oh, very determined. Very determined, because yeah. Number one, the big box medical industry, pharmaceutical companies, are a $1 trillion+ industry a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't get rich by healing people. Mm. That's not what they're out there for.
Mm-hmm.
They get rich because people stay sick. And they put you on something that, say, someone comes in with high blood pressure. Well, they don't look at the body as a whole as to why this individual has blood pressure. They just put you on a blood pressure pill, which also creates more side effects. As we well know, you go and get a medication from the pharmacy, and they've got a whole list of side effects. Well, then when that starts causes trouble, they put you on another pill to cover up those side effects.
Mm-hmm.
It's a win-win for them.
Yeah.
They make trillions of dollars each year off of that. But what people don't understand about herbal medicine is that it's not designed that way. You don't take herbal medicine because, oh, I have a headache in 30 minutes, this is going to go away. It supports your body's systems to do what it's designed to do naturally. God didn't design us to die.
Yeah.
We're meant to live forever. And he gave us everything on this earth in order to be able to support ourselves in that.
I would like to not live forever, but...
Well, I would like to not live forever as well.
But, you know, I guess if your body is doing the things it should be doing, why wouldn't we want to live forever? I think right now we think about that because things start going out and, you know, your mind is not as fresh as it once was, and you start aging, and then that's where your will to live forever. But if you are taking care of a lot of your body, the whole picture of your body.
Correct.
I think that's so often, like you said, people want to, you know, medical community will fix the problem that they see on the surface,
right,
not realizing that below the surface, there's so many other things going on.
That is correct. The body is a system as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just parts of the body. It's not just, oh, my heart, or oh, my lungs, or, you know, those sort of things. I mean, the system works as a whole. And if it's working appropriately in all of those areas, then it's working the way it's supposed to be.
If you're just joining us, we have the owners of Lavender and Sage, Linda and Heather, in today. So you started making products because you kind of started getting into this world, this holistic world, after trying to find a solution for the opioid problem. Where did this kind of become deodorants and, you know, powders and pillow sprays? And where did the lavender and sage, which seems very spa-like, right? Mm-hmm. Which does not seem like medicine that you can take as alternative when coming off drugs. Very different kind of vibes to where you started to where you're at. So where, you know, kind of lead me through that journey a little bit.
So that journey came through during COVID and not being able to find products that you needed. Number one, you wanted to stay out and away from people, mm-hmm. you know, at that time. And so if you couldn't find it, then what were you going to do? How was you going to keep yourself clean? How was you going to be able to, you know, that's the main thing to staying healthy is cleanliness.
Yeah. Build up your immune system.
Exactly. And so we decided to start making soaps and shampoo and different things like that.
Was it just being natural was the forefront? Or what do you think sets your products apart from other natural products?
Ours are small batch. Mm-hmm. And when I say small batch, when we make soap, it might be 6 bars, it might be 8. When we do the tinctures and other medicines with the herbs, you know, we started out in like pint jars. We're up to half gallons now. And that's the biggest we'll go in doing a batch of tinctures because we want the quality and the control of the product. We don't want to be manufacturers.
So keeping, you know, the quality as high as possible in those small batches has been a vision and goal for you guys.
Yes.
So you started kind of selling to friends, family, selling online. I'm imagining Facebook a bit.
No, actually not. We did events. We would do different events throughout Tennessee.
So after the world opened back up,
Our first event we set up, didn't know what we were doing, had tablecloths from Dollar Tree for a dollar.
You know, there you go.
We have progressed from that.
Quite a bit.
Quite a bit. We had no idea what we were getting into. I plan on retiring in a few years, and we were going to open the store up after I retired to give me something to do. Well, the opportunity came this year, and I told her, I said, well, if we're going to do it, let's just do it.
Was that a scary conversation between the two of you, or did it just feel natural?
It wasn't scary until I made the first lease payment, and then it was like, oh no, this is for real.
Yeah, I'm in it. I got to make this work.
We got to make it work. Yeah. We have a friend that helps us that's not working, and so it has really worked out well. We're open 4 days a week, Wednesdays and Thursdays from 10 to 4, Friday and Saturday, 9 to 5.
And has that been beyond what you could have imagined 5 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah. Stick with us. We'll be right back. More with Lavender Sage when we return. Welcome back. I am here today with the founders of Lavender and Sage, Linda and Heather. Thank you guys for being here today. So you make multiple products. How do you kind of figure out what is the next product that you're going to put into your rotation?
We find stuff and we talk about it, and then we decide if it's going to be a good fit or not.
Is it that you feel like the market, you know, people are asking for deodorant, or people are asking for, you know, a pillow spray that will help them sleep at night? Are people asking for certain products, or you just think, is this helping your creative side that you get to create something?
It's both. People ask for certain things, and if we think it's something that we could do that would be successful, and helping others as well, and something that other people may be interested in, especially if it's something that's been repeated.
Yeah.
You know, other people are also asking, not just one individual. Mm-hmm. Then we may decide and do some research on that and see, you know, how that's going to work within what we already do.
Well, and Linda, you mentioned tinctures. So tell me first a little bit about what tinctures are and what that means.
Tinctures. Well, Heather would be better at that than me, probably. So let's let Heather do that.
So a tincture is an herbal extraction. And we currently extract most of our tinctures with alcohol. Alcohol pulls all of the constituents, not all of them, but most of the constituents from the herb that is then strained. And then you get just the benefits of those constituents within the herbs. And we recently decided to add some glycerides when we opened the store because glycerides are for people who are alcohol sensitive. Pregnant women can use them and children. And so we've got two right now on our shelves that we're doing. The glycerides don't have a long shelf life, unfortunately, and they also don't extract as much.
And what would somebody use glycerides for? I would come in and say, I need this for my child for what?
So the current glycerite that we have for designed specifically for children is a calming children's glycerite. And that is, we have handcrafted and chosen herbs that will help the littles when they're not feeling so good, when they're anxious about other things. And, you know, they have a lot going on. Children have a lot on them, and we don't often realize it, and they act out, and they get upset, and we don't really understand why.
I'm 43, and sometimes maybe I act out because I just don't feel good.
I think we can all relate.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think that's the thing is that, you know, I had COVID last week, and I thought there's so many things that were going on in my body from that, of mm-hmm. just the brain fog and the low energy and the coughing. And it was just, there's so many things. And how mm-hmm. do I treat all these things to feel better in general, you know? And of course, you get big box pharmaceuticals that maybe help a little, maybe don't. There's a lot of natural remedies as well that, you know, people can take. So one of your products is called Fire Cider. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So Fire Cider, most people are very familiar with elderberry syrup. Fire Cider acts kind of in the same way, except that it's made with hot herbs. So we're talking ginger, turmeric, horseradish, peppers, onions, things like that. A very, very...
That sounds terrible, but I have never had my sinuses clear up more than with Fire Cider.
It does sound terrible. We do add honey to our traditional Fire Cider, so it does take some of that sting from the apple cider vinegar and the heat. And we tend to let ours set a little longer than a lot of people do. Honestly, I don't like to strain my Fire Cider before 6 months. And I add my honey at the time of the extraction so that it also has time to muddle with everything. Mm. And so it doesn't have quite the bite as some other Fire Ciders does yeah. have.
But still has the effects.
Still has the effects, absolutely. Yeah. You know you're getting it.
Yeah.
For sure. And we have a very successful story with our Fire Cider that we like to share with others.
I was in Kentucky visiting my sister, and we had went to get something to eat, and she had looked in the side door panel, and I had a jar of the Fire Cider that I carry in my vehicle.
Because that's common.
Yeah, it's common when you make it yourself, you know. So she asked me what it was, and I told her, and she said, well, do you care if I try it? And I said, no, go ahead, and she did. She said, well, can I keep this in case I get sick? And I said, yeah. So that was on a Saturday. The following weekend, she called me on Friday at work, and she said, can you meet me tomorrow and bring me 3 bottles of that Fire Cider? I said, what for? This is the woman that thought me and my daughter, Heather, were crazy for making this stuff. And she said,
she thought you were voodoo, right?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yes.
I'm going to take my prescription drugs and go home.
Go home. She said, I got up sick this morning and had laryngitis, and she said, I took it every couple of hours, a tablespoon of it, and she said, I'm talking and I feel better. So I'm like, okay. So I met her the next day, took her 3 bottles. Well, she went to the doctor a couple of weeks later. My sister has a lung condition, and she has to do breathing treatments. So what she was doing, she was taking Fire Cider about 10, 15 minutes before she would do her breathing treatment. And then when she done the breathing treatment, it was getting more stuff up out of her lungs.
Because the Fire Cider kind of opens up
it
the airways.
Yes, it loosens up and it gets the yuck out. Mm-hmm. And so the doctor asked her what she'd been doing. She said, well, my sister and her daughter have an all-natural business, and I've been drinking Fire Cider, and this is what's in it. It's all natural. Well, the doctor took her phone, and she went and looked up everything. She came back. She said, well, I can't tell you that's what it is, but I'm not going to tell you to stop it. So then she went back maybe 2 or 3 weeks later for a checkup, and my sister had been on oxygen for 4 years, and they took her off oxygen. She's been off for about 2.5 years now. Mm.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it seems so simple, but it's so impactful, right?
It is, and people have to understand, this is not an overnight fix when you do natural stuff. Mm-hmm. You have to be committed to doing it. And if you will use it, it will help you.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like we live in a world where everybody wants quick fixes, quick, you know, quick results?
Yes.
And so then...
they don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
Between school, and work,
kids, husbands, all those things. Yeah, there's a lot on people's plates, but that also is why we need to take care better care of our health.
We do.
You know, Heather, you mentioned that it's you're masking the problem, and then these issues, medical issues, become, you know, almost layered because you're just treating one little thing instead of the symptom. You're treating the cause. You're treating the symptom, and so often then there's another symptom that forms, you know, as a side effect, and then it just becomes this deep layer of unhealthiness that people can't get out of.
It's like she said earlier, you need to do your body as a whole, not one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. You need to take care of your whole body, not just pinky or whatever.
Do you think you've always, you know, Linda, you're the mom, so you're just slightly older. You know, do you feel like you've always been this focused on that your whole life? Or is there something that caused you to pivot to think this
way? No, I've not been focused like this my whole life. When I moved here from Kentucky, I would go to the doctor 4 or 5 times a year with my sinus infections. Mm-hmm. I had to take antibiotics and different things. And then 2 months later or 3 months later, I'm back in the doctor's office. She kept saying telling me, you need to do elderberry tincture. And I'm like, I'm not doing that mess. Well, my father had Alzheimer's, and he came to live with me in 2016. And I did not have time to do and run to the doctor every time you turn around. And she said, here, try this. And I'm like, okay. I have done elderberry tincture since 2016. Guess how many times I've been to the doctor for my sinuses?
I'm guessing very few.
One. And the reason being is we went on vacation and I forgot to take it with me and didn't take it. Well, so I am a firm believer.
Well, look at that. Stick with us and we'll be right back. Thanks for sticking with us. I have the owners of Lavender and Sage in this morning. Linda and Heather, thank you so much. So we've talked about some of the products that you have. How do you stay fresh on, you know, kind of techniques of making products, of making sure the things that you're putting together are the best products and they're doing the job that they're meant to do? So, you know, anybody can make a pretty soap, a soap that smells good, but that doesn't mean that it's actually going to clean anything and it's going to kill any germs, right? I'm thinking that's there's correct. Probably some quality control that's necessary. So how do you stay on top of all that?
So we both are very passionate about continuing our education. I am currently in a 3-year program that is Rosemary Gladstar's program. If anybody in the herbal community is familiar with her, everyone in the herbal community is familiar with her, actually. She is like the grandmother of herbal medicine. She got a bunch of things started when herbalism wasn't popular. And it's her Science and Art of Herbalism course. So I am currently taking that course. I will get a certificate at the end in herbalism. And throughout the year, we attend other conferences where we sit under other individuals who have been in the herbal world for many, many years, and they teach classes. Linda is currently in a program as well, and I'll let her tell you a little bit about that.
It's Rooted Medicine Circle, and actually I finished my last class last night. I got to do my capstone project today and submit. I've got it done. I need to submit it. I did an ebook with medicinal plants in the wild, which was very out of my comfort zone, but I done it. So this evening I'll submit that, and then I'm finished with my class.
And what's the importance of kind of staying up to date on things? Are there new techniques coming out? I mean, I think back to 5-10 years ago, oils really were big and hit the market, and some, you know, MLMs were selling oils to people, and you're kind of taking that a step further to them make products that I'm not taking my oils and making products with them. I'll put a little lavender on my, you know, baby's feet when they were little, whatever. But I'm not going and making lotions and soaps and shampoos. And,
you know, there's differences in the oils. Some are good for some things and some are good for other things. Some are good for lotion, some are not. And you need to know what you're mixing up. and you need to be able to tell the people when they come in, are you allergic to anything? I brought little gift bags today. I asked every one of you, are you allergic to anything, mm-hmm. before I gave it to you? Because I don't want to give you something that's going to make you sick.
Right.
And say, well, she made this, and now I'm sick.
Right.
And then that's not what we're there for.
Yeah. So you have a location in Livingston. You signed this lease. You had your, a retail space.
Yes.
Did you think, I don't know that we could fill a retail space. Was that overwhelming at all?
That was Heather's biggest
concern
because we both still work full time.
Yeah. Not at this.
Not at this. No. This was our little side hustle that has turned into a business. But we are very fortunate. Our friend that helps us keep it open, she's also been along this journey with us, with helping us. So when we need a little extra help, she'll come in and help us. So far, we've been able to keep up.
And having a retail space has proved to be okay enough. You know, you have enough products to fill the space. And does it feel weird that you're not, because you could sell your products to other spaces and have them sell your products. Was it important to you to have a lavender and sage space for people to come and know that all the products that they could purchase there were under your kind of stamp of approval?
Yes.
Absolutely. We actually were in a location prior to this in Livingston where we had a booth set up and we were selling our products in this area. And I feel like that helped us grow our name. People become aware of who we were outside of the events that we have been doing. But also, when you go into places, you don't often know where everything comes from. It's very important. I'm very passionate about my products. Again, continuing the small batch that we do, knowing that we choose top quality herbs when we make our products, especially in the consumables such as the tinctures and the tea blends and things like that, because that's very important. And you also have to know that you're getting them from a source that is ethical, mm-hmm. in sourcing, and that you're going to be able to create that sustainability.
Well, and I almost think that with products, the better you do at packaging, at the way your product looks, the less it looks local made, but then people kind of they don't understand that this was made in, Middle Tennessee, and that this was made in a small batch. They don't see the difference sometimes between this chapstick and that chapstick. It's like, well, they're nice packaging, a deodorant that's in some sort of packaging that doesn't look like it's a mason jar from your grandma's kitchen. Well, that's gonna start, well, is this really locally made? And so, and I think you have your own set retail store where it's all, you can kind of tell the story of what you're doing there instead of just being set up in somebody else's location.
Exactly. And then they also get to talk with us.
Yeah.
When we're not there and Tammy's there taking care of things through the week for us, she will say, if you have further questions, you can come back in on Friday or Saturday. They will be able to tell you more. And it's nice to put a face and know that the people you are buying your products from have that passion and consistency and that you can trust that. Another reason for the continuing education to further that, not just looking things up online on Google, actually sitting under these individuals and knowing that you're getting a good education, mm-hmm. in the herbal community.
And I want people to understand our products is products that we use. We're not selling you something that we won't use and that we've not tried on ourselves or our family hasn't tried. When we do something new, we kind of hand it out. Give us your feedback. Let us know. I had a lady come in the other day. She said, that leave-in conditioner that you have? I said, yes. She said, I don't know if I like it or not. I said, well, that's okay. Tell me what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
She said, smells like vinegar too much. And I said, okay, I'll work on that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to work on it. And when I work on it, I'll give her a free one and say, here, try this and let me know.
Yeah. Well, how has that been, getting feedback from customers that aren't your family and friends? You know, when you were just kind of selling it to people you knew, and you started, Heather, through work people, you know, it is good and bad. People will maybe be a little bit more open, but they'll maybe be more nice, too.
But no, our family's very opinionated. They will tell us real quick.
But also knowing, like, impacting the health and benefits for strangers.
Yes.
Was that a great side effect that you didn't realize would happen when you opened the retail space?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure just being able to connect with people.
To extend that further, I work in the medical field, and so I take care of people every day. And so it's a passion. It's been a lifelong passion of mine to be part of the medical community. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to do this and know that the product that you are giving someone is truly more helpful than harmful, mm-hmm, is so rewarding, yeah, at the end of the day.
Yeah. So tell us where you're located in Livingston.
We're at 816 North Church Street, Suite 1, Livingston. We're right on the end of by the bypass.
And you're open Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so people can stop in. Is there a way to find, kind of see what products that you have? Do you have a social media?
We do currently have a Facebook page, and we are working on the website, and that will be up on there very soon. People can go online. I'm posting new products on there on the Facebook page.
And it's Lavender and Sage on Facebook?
Yes.
And so people can find you on Lavender and Sage. What do you think in the next 5 years? What do you see? I mean, Linda, you mentioned maybe you're retiring in the next 5 years and going full time into this. Heather, do you have the plan to go full time into Lavender and Sage at some point?
I would love to at some point. Absolutely. To be able to do that every day as a passion. Mm-hmm. You know, they say if you're doing something that you love daily, it's not work.
Yeah. And then grow your products and grow. Where do you see yourselves opening another location or just growing your product line? What's kind of the 5-year plan for you?
Definitely growing the product line. Maybe doing an e-commerce store through the website eventually, being able to do that. It is very scary currently working full time. And having a retail location, because again, we do work in small batch and we do allow our tinctures and everything to set much, much longer.
Yeah. Well, you have to plan out for 6 months of a firesider. You have to plan that out, that, okay, this is going to be ready in November. This will be ready in December. This will be ready.
Normally on the firesider, what we do, we'll do a couple of batches and then we'll wait maybe a month and then do a couple of more. So that way we're staggering the dates, mm-hmm, so we don't run out.
I'm sure that was part of the planning that was difficult when, you know, just figuring out how to open a retail store that's going to have so much product that you have to go through, and some have a smaller shelf life and whatnot. So I'm so excited for you guys. I really think that you can make a huge impact on the health and wellness of our community, not just in Livingston, but those around and surrounding areas that need this. And so I wish you the best of luck, and I'm so happy to speak with you guys today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in.